current best practices for harm reduction programs include a couple of provisions. No retractable needles should be distributed. Patients should get as many needles as possible, regardless of how many they bring back, and barriers to accessing needles should be as low as possible. But what happens when those recommendations are at odds with community acceptance for the practices? Carol Lofton reports.
In late March, shortly after the Kanawha Charleston Health Department closed their harm reduction program, Mayor Danny Jones wrote in a letter to then Commissioner for Public Health Raul Gupta, asking that the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health perform an audit of the program. Raul Gupta.
The review provided very specific recommendations that needed to be met in order to restart the program.
These included improving data collection and analysis about exactly how many people were using the program and what services they were using, putting in place a plan to deal with needle litter, improving communication with community stakeholders, and requiring that people needing needles pick them up in person. After the audit came out, the Kanawha Charleston Health Department requested a review of the audit from 7 harm reduction experts around the country, including Dr. Peter Davidson from UC California. All 7 letters were pretty critical of the audit.
I think the best way to describe it is that the people who wrote the audit had a very particular idea in mind about what a syringe distribution program should look like.
In his letter, Davidson wrote, "Almost all of the recommendations in the audit represent severe and in some cases unconscionable barriers to effective evidence-based primary prevention of bloodborne virus transmission."
You know, one of the reasons syringe distribution programs exist in the way that they exist at all is because the sort of traditional public health clinic model hasn't served people who use drugs very well at all and hasn't been very good at providing them with the basic tools they need in order to prevent the transmission of infectious disease and reduce overdose.
Davidson says ideally, harm reduction programs have as low a barrier of entry as possible, so the maximum amount of people will participate. And the recommendations made in the audit would raise the threshold of how easy it was to access resources. But he also says there's room to adjust programs to fit the communities they serve.
I wouldn't expect a needle exchange in rural Appalachia to look the same as a needle exchange in San Francisco, for example. That would likely lead to a program that didn't serve the population very well at all.
And in Charleston, there were actually 2 harm reduction programs being held simultaneously. The one at the health department and a much smaller clinic-based program operated by HealthRight, the largest free clinic in the state. Angie Settle is executive director.
Back in 2011, we noticed an increase in patients that were coming in with various stories, histories of being diabetic. They would pick up the needles for the program, but not the insulin.
She says they began to suspect an increase in IV drug use among their patient population.
So we kind of quietly started the program with the needle exchange. It was mainly internal, not something we broadcasted. But those patients that needed it knew of the service, and as they came in, we were screening every patient for IV drug use.
Because HealthRight is a clinic working with a limited number of patients with whom they already have close relationships, they could run their program pretty differently than the health department, which was trying to do a mass public health push, serving the whole city. HealthRight is also a one-to-one exchange. You bring a needle back, you get a fresh one, which for most harm reduction experts is not considered best practice. But since patients can come as many times a week as they want, Settle said it seemed the best choice for her program. They also require every patient to meet with a counselor when they come in for needles. Basically, participation in HealthRight's program requires a lot more effort from patients, which means not everyone will use it. But Settle says that running a conservative program is preferable to not having a program available at all. Dr. Artis Hoven is an infectious disease specialist with the Kentucky Department of Health.
Yeah, the reality here is that you've got a drug-using population that, in fact, is going to keep using drugs whether or not you have a syringe exchange program or not.
But without a program, she says, the community is just opening itself up to easier spread of communicable diseases.
You know, there is something called the art and science, if you will, of risk or harm reduction. And for many of us, we're still learning what that art is and what the science is. We're trying to make it better and to make it something that is more effective.
But if Charleston were to consider public health harm reduction again, a lot of community healing, conversations, and compromise would likely have to occur. And the biggest barrier may be one of the most intangible ones, addressing stigma. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Tomorrow, in our final segment of the series that takes a deep look at harm reduction, health reporter Carol Lofton brings us a story about stigma. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine.